Great Loop Radio, brought to you by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. We're dedicated to sharing Great Loop information and inspiration with those actively cruising, planning for, or dreaming about a Great Loop adventure. Good morning, this is Kim Russo. I'm the director of America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. Today we are talking with Phil Wernley, who is of the Concerned Cruisers Committee, which is part of the Seven Seas Cruising Association. And Phil has been really instrumental in trying to fight the legislation at the Florida legislature, which recently did pass, which prohibits overnight anchoring in some parts of Florida. So we're going to talk about that in detail in a moment. Before we do, though, I want to take a moment to recognize and to thank our Admiral-level sponsors who support AGLCA at the highest level. They are Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, Skipper Bob Publications, United Yacht Sales of the Carolinas, and Waterway Guide Media. We encourage all of our listeners to support these businesses that support the Great Loop. And now I would like to go ahead and bring in Phil so we can talk about the topic at hand. Phil, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, good morning, Kim. Hello from
Florida. Well, hopefully most of... Hello from... I'm in South Carolina today, so hello from South Carolina. Most of our members, hopefully, and listeners have been kind of keeping on top of this issue because it has been something that concerns our members. But if you can, let's just recap what has happened to date in this legislative session, what bill and what's included in the final version of the bill that passed the legislature last week.
Okay, well, this really started 3 years ago, but there's been some private homeowners down in South Florida, particularly in a few anchorages, that just frankly don't like to have boats anchored out in front of their houses. For 3 years, they've been trying to find some way to get themselves exempted from the current prohibition from local governments regulating anchoring while we wait for the results of a pilot anchoring mooring program that's operating in Florida that's scheduled to end next year. And so after three attempts, they came in with a bill that was very narrowly focused on the specific areas where these folks live. And so they were able to convince the legislature that this wasn't really a big deal. It was only about a little area down in South Florida, and it really wasn't going to affect anybody else. So it was very hard to get the other legislators to agree to fight it. So we spent the session trying to fight this bill, and unfortunately we weren't very successful. Before I go on, I do want to say a great amount of thank you to yourself and to the Marine Trawler Owners Association, as well as our association, SSCA, and Handboat U.S., because all four of our organizations have been very closely allied this session over the bill. And I want to thank the listeners that have written or called the legislature, members of your group and other groups that have attended committee meetings in Tallahassee, because without them, I don't think we would be, even though we lost, I think we got the attention of a lot of legislators that are going to help us next year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
well, and
of
on that note,
I would like to
thank you too, Phil, because for those of you who don't know, Phil spent a lot of time in Tallahassee, almost on a daily basis. And although he's not a professional lobbyist, he probably could become one now because he essentially was meeting with individual legislators on the behalf of all of us who cruise the waters of Florida. So, Phil, thank you for the huge amount of time that you invested in this as well.
Well, I have to thank my wife for putting up with it, because I'm retired and supposed to be having fun. Instead, I was up there lobbying a session, but it's a labor of love, because I just felt that somebody needed to be here and I was available, and we hope that eventually this thing's going to go the right direction. I wanted to go ahead and tell you, with the bill that passed, here's what is going to be restricted. There's going to be no overnight anchoring allowed in the Middle River in Broward County, in Sunset Lake in Miami-Dade County, and among the islands, the areas between Rivo Alto and Toledo, San Marino and San Marco, and San Marco and Biscayne Islands, all in Miami-Dade. So those are the areas that are going to be restricted under this bill. And basically,
okay,
the prohibition is you can't anchor overnight there.
And let's talk about, are there any safe harbors to that ruling?
Yeah, there are. There's several. If you suffer a mechanical breakdown that renders the vessel from being able to proceed, you can anchor. It's kind of weird. You can anchor 3 days or until you've got your boat repaired. So the question is going to be, if you extend 3 days, you still can't move, what they're going to do. But it essentially does provide for mechanical breakdown. There's also a safe harbor when weather conditions in the vicinity pose an unreasonable risk, that you can stay until that risk is gone or until a hurricane or tropical storm warnings have been cleared. There's also provisions for government vessels and construction vessels to anchor overnight. You can also anchor overnight if you're actively fishing. And that's pretty much it. And then towboats, like, you know, towboat, if they for some reason have to come in there and anchor overnight or during the night for some reason to help a boater, they would be allowed. So there are some exceptions to this, but basically recreational boaters like our listeners wouldn't be allowed to anchor in there unless these provisions are met.
Okay. Well, let's go back a little bit and talk about these specific areas that are getting special treatment. Initially, and this is going back a few iterations ago of the bill, but it was a statewide ban within a reasonable distance, and I don't recall the specific distance, you probably do, for marine infrastructure.
It was 200 feet.
For overnight.
It was
200 feet. Thank you.
There was a 200 feet setback from any the proposal last year was 200 feet from any residential property in Florida, whether it was single family or multifamily. There was also, we also floated a provision during that time last year to allow for setback from marine infrastructure, things like boat ramps and boat docks and marinas and mooring fields, because we all agreed that you needed to provide ingress and egress for boats that are there, and so there needed to be some clearance provided. But to be having statewide setbacks from just any kind of residential property was not something that we would support.
Right. And so now that, and that was defeated last year, but now that it's come
that
back and it has passed, that it has passed in some very specific areas, it's been pretty widely reported in some different industry publications that there are some very vocal homeowners in South Florida that seem to have pushed for this legislation. How do those particular more well-known homeowners that are against the anchoring, how does their property align with the actual few areas that this did pass for?
Well, the main famous person, Mr. Carlton, who I think anybody that watches any of the social media is familiar with him, he actually lives on Sunset Lake and in Miami. And so that's a very it's in a series of canals, and it's at the back of three canals that's really isolated from a lot, but it's a very good protected anchorage, a fairly large area. And he lives on that lake and just doesn't want boats to be out in front of his house, and we all know that. In Middle River, it's my understanding that Mariotis, who was a sponsor of this bill, one of the sponsors of this bill, and has been pushing it since, you know, 2 years ago, that this is the Middle River is where he grew up, and I think he has a brother that lives in that area now. So there certainly are personal relationships. How the other three anchorages got added, I don't know. I know that there's a group of owners down there that have formed a group that has paid a lobbyist to deal with this, and I'm assuming that some of those areas are where those owners are living. But it's primarily private residents pushing this.
Okay. And I believe, and forgive me if I'm talking about the wrong version of the bill, but was there a population density that was included for those particular anchorages as part of the reason why they were approved for this restriction?
There was a bill that had the restrictions in it, but it was removed in the House version, and it didn't end up in this. I mean, I'm going to double check right now just to be sure, but I think it ended up not in this bill. If I remember, it was removed.
Okay.
Yeah, it just, they use the word densely populated area now, but they don't have any population numbers. So, yeah, that
okay.
population
and,
here, number was
And there's also, there was something, I believe, in the final language of the bill that talked about these being very busy and very narrow waterways in highly densely populated areas as part of the reason that these were being carved out. Can you comment on whether they really are narrow channels in those areas? Because I've heard comments to the contrary on that.
Well, Middle River is an anomaly. The description in Middle River is a 2.4-mile strip of that river that basically, actually, part of it you can't get to with sailboats because it's got the bridges up that river. But that's a water ski zone that's been designated by FWC to allow water skiers and boaters to operate in spotted manatees in that area. There is a section near the intercoastal that is probably about 2,000 feet wide by maybe 2,000-3,000 feet long. That's kind of an open area. It's a larger area that is where the anchoring takes place. The rest of it's a fairly narrow canal, and I really don't think that most anchoring people wouldn't anchor in that canal like that. It's so too narrow. So yeah, while they say mm-hmm. it's a narrow waterway, it's not really true for the anchorage that's included in this description. In terms of the other areas in Miami, they're typical canals that are probably 1,000 feet wide or whatever, and the one in Sunset Lake is much wider and longer. And if you kind of look at the aerials, you know, there's boats in there, but they're still not blocking access to the boat docks, which is one of the reasons cited in this bill. So, yeah, but Middle River is the one that people talk about as being narrow, and it is. A lot of it's narrow, but not where the anchorage in question is.
Mm-hmm. And do you know, Phil, if there are, first of all, do you know how popular these anchorages are? And secondly, do you know of some alternatives that people might be able to use if the governor does, in fact, sign this bill into law?
Well, in Broward County, I can't really speak for Dade because I frankly haven't researched it, because I know that there are other anchorages in Dade County that people can use. But in Broward County, Lake Sylvia, which last year was included in a bill that they tried to ban as well, was not included in this bill. And it's a similar anchorage. It's just down the intercoastal from Middle River that is used. In terms of usage, I was looking at aerials as part of this research this year, and I think I remember that at one point in December of 2014, I think, or 2015, I was getting from, you know, Google Earth, I think I counted in Little River as many as maybe 19 boats anchored in there, and in Lake Sylvia maybe as many as 25. That was in January of that year. 8-9 years ago, there was probably no more than 9 boats in those areas at a time, same time of year. So there's been a large increase in the last few years of anchoring boats in there. I don't know if it's a part of the economy, you know, picking up and more people cruising or what's happened, but it seems to have increased pressure in there. But there are some other small anchorages in Broward that have been sighted up and down the river. They're very small, probably only 2 or 3 boats can get into them. But this is by far the big one of the most protected and biggest anchorages that is being affected.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to take a quick break and play a message from one of our sponsors. When we come back, I'd like to talk about next steps for this bill, because it is left to the governor at this point. So back in a moment to talk about that.
All right.
Did you know that every mile of the Great Loop is covered by both the Waterway Guide and Skipper Bob? Use them to plan your Great Loop cruise and learn about the places you can visit. In the cockpit, important navigation info is always ready at your side, plus marina listings, anchorages, services, and so much more. Each Skipper Bob and Waterway Guide is updated yearly, and waterwayguide.com and skipperbob.net keep you current with navigation alerts, cruising news, fuel prices, and special deals. With the Waterway Guide and Skipper Bob at the helm, you'll always be on course. Order yours today at the AGLCA Ship Store at greatloop.org. Waterway Guide and Skipper Bob are proud sponsors at the Admiral level with AGLCA.
We're back on Great Loop Radio, and we are talking to Phil Wernley of the Concerned Cruisers Committee of the Seven Seas Cruising Association. Phil was really instrumental in leading the charge in Tallahassee this legislative session to try and defeat a bill that prohibits overnight anchoring in some of Florida's popular anchorages. That bill, of course, was in the end passed by the legislature, and now it's really up to the governor as to whether or not that will become law. Phil, I understand that the governor's window on that is 7 days, but when does that period start and end?
It begins when the law is submitted, which it has been signed and submitted to the governor's office, and I think that was yesterday. So we probably have a week to do it. And there will probably, if some of your people haven't already seen it, there will be some stuff coming out here probably today with instructions on how to contact the governor's office to express your desire to have him veto the bill. We don't hold a lot of hope up for that to happen, but it certainly doesn't hurt to try.
Okay. And, yeah, we'll definitely disseminate that on our social media and our members forum. We can also, actually, since a lot of people do listen to this podcast after it's been recorded, we can actually put the information also in the description that they'll see on the on their computer screen if they're listening to it on the web interface there. So we'll get that out today.
Okay.
So I guess the inside word then is that the governor is pretty likely to sign this bill.
I think, you know, he's got a lot of big controversial bills out there, and I don't know that the word is such as that, but I just don't, you know, it's kind of hard to get the governor to veto something that he's not bought into fighting, and I just, you know, it's just very rare, unless a lot of pressure gets put on him to do it. My experience from being in Tallahassee for 40-something years, it's just not typical for a governor to veto something, legislation like this. So we just hope that enough people write in and maybe they'll change his mind.
Okay. And if he does sign it into law, when does this take effect?
July 1st of this year.
July 1st.
And I will point out that the bill has a provision for it to sunset should the legislature, which we hope will, adopt a successor to the pilot program in Florida, which would implement, we hope, statewide guidelines and regulations for local communities to implement, to opt in to implement local anchoring regulations and mooring regulations at some point next year. So if that bill passes, if the bill passes next year, then all this will go away.
Yeah, and if we could, Phil, if we can talk a little bit about the pilot program in case our listeners are not familiar with it, just, you know, briefly, what is that, and talk about the sunset next year and how this bill is affected by that.
In 2008, the FWC and I think SSCA and perhaps, I wasn't in it, but I think maybe your organization, we're very concerned that there's a proliferation of local ordinances we're trying to restrict anchorages in Florida. In fact, data I have indicate there's at least 37 communities and counties in Florida that had some type of boating anchoring restrictions in place in their communities. And the concern was that it was like this proliferation of all these little dotted communities up and down the intercoastal on the west coast and east coast, and that boaters didn't know where these were, and they were being harassed. And so FWC went to the legislature and asked to set up this pilot program to begin looking at models to determine how to create a framework for local communities to be able to provide for anchoring and mooring fields, but also to allow them to regulate in some level. So this pilot program was established. Five communities were brought into the program, Stewart in Martin County, Monroe County, Sarasota, St. Petersburg, and St. Augustine. And all those ordinances that were adopted as a result of this pilot program are set to expire in July of 2017. And if that happens, no community in Florida would be allowed to regulate anchoring because there's another provision in law that basically right now prohibits anybody from except the pilot programs from operating anchoring restrictions. So there's going to be pressure not only from the five pilot programs that are going to certainly want to continue their program after July 2017, But these 37 communities that have been basically waiting since 2009 to be able to re-implement their ordinances are going to be putting pressure on the legislature to try to enact something that will allow them to do it. And that's really the reason mm-hmm. behind why we have the bill to pass this session, is because the people in Miami and in Broward County, when the program was extended in 2014 for three more years, they weren't happy because they wanted to be able to get into the business of regulating Angry. So we're going to mm-hmm. see an increased pressure coming next year to have a bill.
Okay. So it sounds like next year is really going to be a key year, and we're probably going to need our members and listeners and of all the different associations we've already mentioned to really get involved at that point to have their voices heard on anchoring in Florida, because it does sound like a hodgepodge that's very difficult to navigate and know where to anchor and where not to could really be the result of that. So it probably sounds like it's going to be a key year next year as well.
Yes, it is. And it's really going to be critical in a number of ways. We have an election year in Florida. The Senate was redistricted, and so every senator and every representative in Florida is up for election this fall. So a lot of pressure is going to have to be put on them during the election. We're going to really need help in lobbying, hopefully a professional lobbyist next year. So SFCA has a GoFundMe site that we've all, I think, seen before that's out there that people can contribute money to that. And we also have a Voters Heritage Freedom Pact that we're going to be ramping out and publicizing here in the next few months to raise money to be able to put into campaigns for people that will support us, because we really need that help. And we really need people who live in Florida, who are residents here, they're your listeners, to get active in dealing with local legislators this session and attending candidate forums and whatever to make them aware of what we want to see happen.
Mm-hmm. And the GoFundMe campaign that SFCA has put out is specific to funding this effort. Is that correct?
Exactly. It's only to be used for costs of lobbying and expenses, so that you know, our organizations aren't taking membership money to pay for it.
Right. And the PAC that you mentioned as well was really created initially for this issue in Florida. So we really do need all of our listeners and members who are residents of Florida to make their voices heard, because they have certainly the most clout with their elected representatives. But for the rest of the loopers out there, to do the loop, of course, you have to go through Florida. So we would encourage you to support the effort as much as you can to make your voices heard and to help support it financially if you can, because as Phil mentioned, in the past, there have been professional lobbyists to support this effort. And like it or not, that's just the way politics works in America today. So it will take some money to fund the effort, of course. So we encourage you to do that if you're interested. And we'll get all of that information, as I said, out on our social media and our discussion forum. Phil, do you have any other thoughts or comments as we wrap up? Is there anything we should have covered that we haven't?
Yeah, I do want to mention briefly that we did have one success. Well, we have, I guess to say from our point of view, one major success, and that was we were able to get to help support the passage of an at-risk vessel bill, and it's basically going to provide law enforcement for the ability to have more tools to deal with at-risk vessels before they become derelict. So they'll be able to find individuals who have shown no way to dewater their vessels or have spaces that are enclosed but that remain open, like someone's, you know, leaves a boat abandoned with a hatch open and it's taking in water, it's essentially going to sink. If it's broken loose from anchoring and hasn't been moored, the law enforcement has the authority to find folks and to get at them before the vessels actually sink. So we worked last year on this bill, and it got tied into the anchoring issue, but this year it was clean, and it did, and it's on its way to the governor's office as well. So that was another big bill that we passed, worked on this session.
And thank you for bringing that up, because as you said, last year the derelict vessels were tied into the anchoring bill, which made it extra challenging, because we at AGLCA and our members agree that derelict vessels are a huge safety issue, but temporarily anchored vessels are not. So it's great that the two were separated and that the derelict vessels bill passed. You did mention that part of that bill is gives law enforcement some ability to issue fines and such. That reminded me, what is the penalty on the anchoring restrictions if someone does anchor overnight in one of the restricted areas?
Well, there's kind of two things about, there's two elements to that. Now, we've only got a few minutes here, but there's two quick elements. One is that when an officer can have a vessel towed and impounded for 48 hours, if the owner refuses to move the boat when he's asked, or if he anchors a boat within 12 hours after receiving a citation by the law enforcement officer after he's had a citation. And when that boat gets impounded, the owner is then going to be responsible for the towing costs and the impounding storage and all that for whatever it costs to do that. In addition, they'll have a civil fine. For the first offense, it'll be $50. The second offense will be $100. And the third offense will be $250. But the real kicker here is it's giving law enforcement the power to tow your boat. Just like you're being towed off the legal parking lot.
Right. Good to know. Phil, thank you very much for joining me. Thank you again for all of your work on this issue. As I said, for our listeners, we'll get some more information out on how you can get involved, and particularly in the very short term, contact the Florida Governor's Office about this already passed bill. And then we also need you to get involved to work towards next year. So more information to come on all of that. Thank you all for listening. Until next week, safe cruising.